Blog Talk Radio.
You know what time this is, man. MySpace.com/DJ1.
I'm serving notice.
Easy.
Yeah. I get the shot you're looking at.
Elite.
Go on, Chad. Lay it on me. What have you got to say this week? You got 5 minutes. It's all yours. The floor is yours.
Well, I think people are starting to listen to Chad now. I do think that finally people are starting to embrace it. I do feel that there is a few people who fail to recognise their abilities, but soon they will. They all understand. They know who they are.
Nonetheless,
there's predictions I got wrong, and there are predictions that are still yet to come through or to be wrong, so we'll wait till SummerSlam, and we'll see how that goes. It's Great Balls of Fire, that will determine everything.
Can I just say, Shad, I listened back to last week's show, and I didn't realise how many predictions you'd made early in the year that have actually come true this year. I actually sat there and thought, shit, there's so many of these have come true.
I'm actually surprised myself, to be honest.
I'm genuinely impressed, Shad. My hat is off to you. Fair play.
It's not like prediction who's going to win in a match, win and lose, because they don't know until they walk through the curtain most of the time. So, yeah, man, to be able to predict something 6 months in advance, I will pat myself on the back. Like Barry Horwitz.
Yeah, the title of the Barry Horowitz of predictions has moved over to Wardle now. He went 1-4 at Money in the Bank. He had a shocker.
As I said last time, Money in the Bank is one of the events that I armchair book to fuck, because anything can happen at Money in the Bank. It's like the Rumble, it's like Mania. Anything can happen.
Sabotaging himself.
Sabotage my record. Oh, she didn't win, but
I would like, for the record, WWE still says that at Money in the Bank, Carmella didn't win the Money in the Bank contract. WWE themselves, they say that she didn't. She won it on SmackDown, so still, technically speaking.
Hang on a second, I didn't know it was a SmackDown's prediction show. It was the Bank's prediction show.
In which case,
and we're getting Money in the Bank,
really. It was still 4 out of 5, technically. Well, not really, because he won it on a do over on SmackDown, so not really.
Talking of the match on SmackDown, I'd like to point out that we actually.
So, one last question then, to put this all to bed. When the bell rung, who was the winner?
On SmackDown.
Else they'll still be fighting now, they'll be fighting 24/7, so the bell rang for the match to end.
The winner of the Money in the Bank contract on SmackDown was
not on about SmackDown, because we did SmackDown predictions, we did Money in the Bank predictions.
There wasn't, if you go back and watch it, there wasn't a declared official winner of the Money in the Bank match at Money in the Bank itself. There wasn't. If you rewatch it, I promise you, no one official.
Did you do the Stevie Wonder ad, like, and then see what everybody else saw.
No one ever saw it.
What's the bank comment?
James Ellsworth.
Not known in history.
James Ellsworth rung the bell, and James Ellsworth announced that Carmella had won.
But no one said any different, Wardle.
She won.
Okay. Jace Ellsworth announced
You're not going to win this one, Ward. We're going to give this to Shad because Carmella still won.
You can give it to Shad, but the record will still show that at Money in the Bank, there was no winner of the women's Money in the Bank contract match because there wasn't an official decision made. That will always be on the record.
Sorry, this is one last point. I cannot remember the year. 97, I want to go with. There was a winner called Stone Cold Steve Austin who won the Royal Rumble. He went down in history as the winner as the Royal Rumble. You can go back and look it up, Wikipedia, WWE Network, YouTube. And it will tell you Stone Cold Steve Austin won, but then we go back the night after, Stone Cold didn't win. They told us, oh, we're going to have to put everybody back in, it's a fatal four-way. But in history, Stone Cold wins the Royal Rumble.
I'll counter you to that. Royal Rumble 2004. Who won that? Who won the 2004 Royal Rumble?
I do not recall.
Well, it was Chris Benoit, but WWE hasn't got anything in that section.
Well,
that's picking up
on today's show.
Yeah.
If you look back in history this week.
I'm going to suggest they're slightly different circumstances, Wardle, to be honest.
Oh, no, yeah. I like his enthusiasm and his passion for me not to be right. Because he's my tag team partner, and tag team partners look out for each other. So, yeah, thanks for that, Wardle.
Can we have the first lady of the STCZ on this, the Sensational Joe? That's beautiful.
I am the Roman Reigns of this podcast. It's just cool to hate on me. For no reason. It's just cool to hate on me. I am the Roman Reigns of this podcast.
But I'm getting all the Martin to the heat of the podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the Jams podcast. # you can edit that out. There's no infamous informant this week, so we're all co-hosting this one. I am serial killer Matt Sacco.
Amazing. He keeps talking about her, but Yeah, throw him an arrow.
The arrow loving Samoan Cena himself.
I can already see, like, a cartoon about that. Like a little meme.
Right.
I know that Roman Reigns is a big fan of the green stuff, so...
Yeah, but that's actually, was it 2 years now this week that he was banned? Well, not banned, suspended even.
Less than that. It's not been 2 years, has it?
Was it last year?
Last year, yeah.
Yeah, it was last year because everyone was getting done, weren't they? That's when Paige got done.
Like three or four people got banned in about, what, a week?
Yeah. Yeah, because Billy Gunn got done, didn't he? And
yeah.
And then he went to New Japan, Paige got done, Reigns got done. Who else was it?
Alberto Del Rio got done. I think it was more than twice, Shad. Maybe stick a few nines in front of that number and we're getting there.
We were all young.
When everyone told me that Paige was making her comeback, I didn't expect that.
You're all bad people. Let's get stuck into this shit. We haven't got long. Raw. Joe, what did you make of it? A much better show, do you think, than the last few weeks?
I was quite impressed, but to be honest with you, I mean, Raw's been that shit. Anything's a bonus, isn't it? And I always like to see Brock Lesnar get choked out, strangulated. It's great.
Yeah, Joe's right. Anything's better than some of the shit that they've been putting out. It was a decent enough show.
It's definitely got better than the last few weeks. I really liked the sneak attack by Joe on Lesnar because I didn't see it coming. And I think it still builds Joe up as a monster and, like, building up his credibility and the believability that he could win.
On a real, do we actually think we could all be in for a shock and Joe might actually beat Lesnar?
No.
In my head, there's no doubt Brock Lesnar all the way.
Yeah.
I'm still gonna predict Lesnar, but...
I would be amazed if they put Joe over Lesnar. I'd like to see it happen just because we'd see the belt on TV every week, but I would be amazed if they had Joe go over Lesnar.
Remember I told you, lot, 7 to 10 minutes. 7 to 10 minutes, that's all we're gonna get. So, if you want to listen to Shad, you can jump on the bandwagon now.
He's riding high after the last few weeks, isn't he, Mr. Shad?
Why not?
No, I'm going to agree with most of the non-offensive things Shad says.
So, not much then?
No. Not much.
Yeah, I mean, the Raw was okay, but it's that same shit, and Shad will agree with me. Why will they not give Nia Jax a fucking chance to go for the title? Why will they not give her a title shot?
Maybe they just think at the minute Alexa versus Sasha will be the better match. I don't know.
Oh, because Sasha's... I think we showed that advert on Raw earlier. Sasha's in some Teen Choice Award, so the publicity's on her at the minute, so that's why she's got the title shot. Don't worry, when Total Divas comes back on, like, other people will get a shot that are on Total Divas. Nia Jax is on Total Divas, so she will get a title shot when that season premieres, whenever that is.
Because, like, all the Nia Jax matches have all been pretty solid, and her NXT stuff was really good, especially against some really shit people. So, I just don't understand why... why they won't give her a shot. Even, like you said, Chad, but I know the publicity is on Sasha, but come on now. How many more wins does she have to pick up? How many more really strong showings does she have before she gets a title shot?
Well, at least they're still kind of protecting her. Like, it took four women to take her down before Sasha finally done it.
And she did look good in the matches she was having as well. She looked strong, to be honest.
Well, it's hard not to against fucking Dana Brooke. The vanilla midget.
Yeah, she's definitely part dwarf, like.
She is.
She's got to be.
She's a bit dwarfy. She's a bit potato.
Didn't she?
Just a bit.
She's very stumpy.
Maybe it's all the little needles.
Do you know, like Hornswoggle, where he's like stumpy? I'm just saying there's a possibility that they have the same father. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know. I'm just getting a bit frustrated with the Raw Women's Division. It's just a bit lackluster.
I guess you've got to give it time. It's got to rebuild after Charlotte's departure, though, hasn't it? It's going to have to find its own identity again a little bit. So, you know, I guess you've got to give it time.
I think the only real way to fix it is just either putting them on Raw or putting them all on SmackDown, because six wrestlers in a division is laughable, really, and it doesn't make nobody strong, because they're facing everybody week after week, the same six people are wrestling each other. It's kind of boring, to be honest. I'm trying not to log off. I'm trying to stay with it, man, but just keep on seeing these same repeat matches.
As I keep saying, and I'm going to keep on saying it until they sort it, WWE has too many people. Too many people. They really, really do. Because like you said, if they're just going to keep using the same six people or the same seven people, get rid of anyone else. Why keep them? It's the same as the main event picture. It's always the same five, six, seven people. And then you've got the mid-card, it's always the same four people, five people. But it's still too many. There's still too many people in the pot. That's why other shows do much, much better. That's why other promotions sell out their stadiums and arena tours and stuff. SmackDown and Raw can't even fill arenas at the minute because it's the same shit all the time without any story, without any logic. Just the same shit all the time.
Something that is building up on Raw, and I'm very interested to see how they're going to work it, is Bray Wyatt and Seth Rollins.
Just another thing that doesn't make no sense. I thought Bray Wyatt was feuding with Finn Balor.
Yeah, they've sort of completely dropped that, haven't they? I don't know, it's like they have no idea what to do with Rollins at the minute, and they've got no idea what to do with Bray Wyatt. Rollins has lost all his momentum as well. Do you think his return...
Well, he has no idea.
Rollins is a perfect example of what I'm saying. There is too many people. There isn't enough belts. There isn't enough marquee matches. There isn't enough marquee matches to give the right people the right airtime. That's the problem. New Japan has a ridiculous amount of titles, but you get every single person in a match on a roster in a main event, you know what I mean? Everybody gets rotated around, everyone works their way up, everybody gets title shots because they've got enough time to do it. Same with Ring of Honor, same with ICW, there's enough belts, there's enough marquee moments, enough marquee matches to give people opportunity. Unfortunately, WWE goes for a three or four belt structure and it doesn't work because they've got too many people. It's just Rollins has to be in a title hunt or a title picture, otherwise he's boring. And that's the truth of it. He is boring if he's not doing a title run or chasing it.
What do you all think of the R-Truth Goldust stuff going on at the minute? Good or bad?
Joe's a big fan of Goldust.
I love Goldust. But to be honest with you, I was left wanting a lot more on Raw, I think. Considering like the build up that's happened to it, I was left a little bit disappointed.
I was expecting more of a beatdown as well, yeah.
Yeah, it was a bit. Yeah. I don't know if it's like the start of something, then that was like the first segment or what, but I don't know, I was left a bit disappointed.
Right, here it is, I found it on my Twitter. last week, I'll say it's a fair point. The Golderson Archer promo video of the foot, which has changed its long build up, resulted in a match from the pre show.
The sad thing is, you're probably spot on, Shaz. That's the thing.
Well, it was always destined to be a pre show match, if it was ever going to amount to anything. Retro Goldust, though. Come on, that's worth money.
Yeah,
Retro Goldust. But is that a sign that he's leaving? Is that a sign that he's hanging up his boots? Like one last retro run and that's it?
Quite possibly. I mean, he can't go on forever.
Probably about time. He's probably getting fed up with all the fans. Fans saying that Goldust should have had a world title run, should have done this, should have done that, although he was a multi-time champion across so many different promotions.
I think it'd be, really... Well, yeah, it'd be really useful for the WWE to give him some sort of backstage role, because think of the experience he can give, even if it's down at NXT. I think it'd be a great addition to the, you know, the backstage team.
I have a feeling that this is the final hurrah for Goldust, so then, yeah, I think you're absolutely right, take up where Dusty left off as an NXT creative, because he's got the mind for the business. He is a talented guy, very, very talented wrestler.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You guys are actually right that the R-Truth thing is it's got to be hopefully the start of something more, because that was a bit weird. I mean, the camera crew in the ring was awesome. That was so good.
Yeah, I did like that little touch, to be honest.
That was a bit.
It was delightfully camp.
The gold camera. I love all that shit, man. We don't get enough of that anymore. We like to have fun stuff, like, you know, not just proper matches, we like fun stuff.
Can I ask though, when you start seeing that old tracksuit, did anybody else have Jimmy Savage flashback?
No!
No, Stephanie McMahon had an Andre the Giant flashback.
Same with the use of wear though?
Wait, hold on, we need just to clarify.
It kind of looks like an old gold, like if he had the wig.
No, I'm just saying, all you have to do is put Goldust makeup on Jimmy Savile, and I think that's what I will be doing tomorrow.
I think that explains the Ahmed Johnson segment.
Oh god. Could somebody please explain to me the whole Miz segment?
He's the worst one!
And why WWE thought that would work?
It was... Was it as bad as the Bayley This Is Your Life segment on Raw about a month ago?
I would say it was worse, especially when the guy grabbed the live mic and said, go on, fuck him up. Did you guys hear that?
Sadly, yeah.
What was that?
No, honestly, there's a huge fucking thing about it. Vince is fuming. But the only reason they've not pulled it off the network or anything is because they're getting loads of money from the t-shirt sales. They're on some sort of deal where they get a cut of the t-shirt sales, and that's the only reason they've not pulled it. But yeah, if you listen back, he actually says the n-word live on Raw.
That's not good.
That person to do that was Vince McMahon.
Just quickly before we finish talking about Raw, what on earth are we doing with Dean Ambrose, and where are we going to go with Big Cass Enzo Amore?
Big Show. Big Show versus Cass. Big Show versus Cass. So here we go.
Cass will just. They'll have a match. Cass will be beating him down, and then. It's an old show. I'm about to say he'll come running down, but he'll come to the ring. And he'll do the job that he done for Strowman. But still watch out for it, man. Big Cass over to SmackDown.
Yeah, I'd say that.
That wouldn't be a bad move, actually.
Yeah. would they give him the WWE title? Because Big Cass has got world title run.
Jinder Mahal, can't you?
Anything can happen, I think. That's a good point, Shad. If they've given it to Jinder, anything can happen.
But that was because of the stuff in India, right? That was the reason they did that, because they reached out in India and they set up all the contracts and stuff over there for the network. And so we get why that happened. But once someone like Styles or Cena wins it again, would Big Cass be legitimate enough to beat someone like that?
Not yet, I think, is the best answer.
Whereas I think it's doable on Raw, because if fucking Goldberg can win the Universal title, anybody in the world could win the Universal title.
Don't get triggered, Chad. I know he said the G word. Stay calm, Chad. Take another hit. Take another hit.
Okay.
That's fair enough. Actually, final point, because I'm really interested to see what you guys think. I'll start with you, Joe. What is the dirt that Corey Graves has got on Kurt Angle? What's that storyline going to turn into?
Last week, or the week before?
It's honestly one of them things. If it involves Corey Graves, I don't really give a shit. I really can't stand the guy, and I know I'm going to get shit for that. But he's just, I want to punch him so bad. Now when he comes on the TV, it's because I watched that Superstar Inc.
Oh, okay.
And he's just so fucking smarmy and I can't stand him. Honestly, I'd rather watch a woman's match than watch Corey Graves. When he comes on the screen, I go and make a coffee or whatever.
I agree with you, Joe. He gets too much actual FaceTime, doesn't he? He should just stay as a voice. He does get far too much actual TV time. Like, it's a bit...
Okay.
Do
you think there's
I was about to say he's the best announcer that the WWE have got, but then there's Morrow and now I was back.
NXT, baby! NXT, mate. In that WWE, Triple T just sat there with his wad of, like, $100 bills just making it rain. Making it rain. Mauro Ranallo on NXT. Ah, the best. And JR's back, like pretty much permanently now, doing all the takeovers and stuff, so...
The King will be back soon.
Meh.
What?
I like JBL's commentary. I think he's really funny. Like, the angrier he gets, the funnier he is.
I'd say I like JBL too.
Watch the...
No,
Shad, go back and watch the Brothers of Destruction against MVP and Kennedy.
Oh, God, I know what you're on about.
His commentary is, like, cry-laughing good. Like, I watch that just to listen to JBL. It's so good. Anyway, we're short on time. Let's skip on to SmackDown. I'm purposely avoiding Braun and Roman because that's going to come out in Wardle's MVP of the Week. Spoiler alert. So, quickly on to SmackDown. Really good show again. And can I just point out that the Jams podcast predicted that ladder match to a T. Listen back to last week's show. I called that. I said Ellsworth would come down, interfere, and Carmella would win. But it wouldn't be direct interference. Boom.
Was SmackDown that good this week, though? Let's be real for a second. The Money in the Bank ladder match had some very weird things going on in terms of how it climb into the crowd with Charlotte. It's weird when your objective is climbing a ladder to get to a briefcase, which is in the ring. So that's bizarre, for a start. And extremely slow climbing, even for a Money in the Bank match. Like, was it actually that good?
I thought it was better than their pay-per-view match.
See, I think the other one was better. I really didn't like it. Really, really didn't like it. The outcome's fine. Like I said to you on the last week's show, I'm glad that Carmella won because she's something exciting.
It builds more nuclear heat for her, which is the whole point.
Yeah. I just think the actual match was pretty shocking, and SmackDown itself wasn't amazing this week.
It wasn't amazing, but I think it's still a very solid offering. I thought Sami Zayn and Baron Corbin put on another decent match. They got really good chemistry. I like the exchange between AJ Styles and Kevin Owens. Thought that was good. What do we all think about the Punjabi Prison match making its comeback?
Go on, Joe.
I really think that Wardle might be right with this whole Vince Russo thing.
I told you, he definitely is back doing creative for WWE. They say he's not. He fucking is, I'm telling you. There's no way that it's not Russo.
That's why Jim Cornette wants to kill him. That makes sense.
Yeah,
that's why Jim Cornette wants to kill him.
Yeah, because Russo's got a restraining order out, hasn't he?
Yeah, I had one of them last year, but we won't go into that.
I can't think of any other reason why some of the decisions that have been made, other than that Russo's back, because it just screams Russo completely and utterly.
Yeah, I'm beginning to think that Wardle is right on this one. That's all
I'll have to just disagree, I'm sorry. It's not like me to disagree with Wardle, but there's no Russo's nowhere near there. Stephanie wouldn't let that happen. She likes to be in control, and she likes to take credit for everything, so... Yeah.
I don't know. if you go back about...
We're all looking for answers, man. Like I say, it all comes down to Vince McMahon. He's lost it, man. Like we've said for months, years even. He's just not in touch.
Was it about 6 weeks ago? Was it six or seven weeks ago, I said that Vince Russo must be back. He's got to be back. There is a clear line when you can see how shit both shows just started getting. You can just see it. They just all slowly started declining. But no, you're right, Shad. That's why Triple Team doesn't let him anywhere near fucking NXT, because it would just... He'd kill it. He would absolutely kill it if he got his hands on NXT.
There has been some strange decisions over the past 6-7 weeks, I must say, that make me wonder what's going on.
With the Money in the Bank match on SmackDown, there was just so much that was wrong with it that it was almost like, why bother doing it again? Because it was like, very few women took any bumps on any of the ladders. Everything they did avoided them.
Sounds like the men's Money in the Bank ladder match when Shinsuke came out. I didn't see Shinsuke take not one ladder bump.
No,
I hear they're scared of heights, though, innit?
Charlotte, Natalya fighting in the crowd doesn't make any sense. There was just lots wrong with it. And then you had, like, the fucking kendo stick on a pole match on Raw. Whatever the last pay-per-view was for Raw. And all that. Whatever, I don't give a shit. We got Great Walls of Fire, for Christ's sake. It's got to be Russo, right? Surely. Come on.
It smells of Russo, but I'd be stunned if he was back on creative.
I don't think they'd ever admit it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think...
Why did you hire somebody that you wouldn't admit was working for you, or supporting that?
Because
Vince Russo, innit? He already tried to write a letter to Vince McMahon and say, let me come work for you for free, and he still got turned down.
Well, you don't know that, do you? You don't know
Russo said it on his own podcast.
It's like, it's the same, like, WWE at the minute is in the same place that it was pre-Attitude Era, which is, there is no competition for it, so it's got stagnant again. We went through this high last year where everything was new, it was exciting, the whole landscape changed with the draft, and they brought in all these new pay-per-views and stuff, and it was exciting, but it's already stagnated within the space of a year.
Guys, my time's up.
Okay, Shad, can we quickly have your MVP of the week?
It's going to be for the third time in a row, Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe.
And who's your bitch of the week, Shad?
It's gonna have to be Enzo. Enzo Amore.
Oh, Enzo Amore. I like your pick, Shad. I like your picks. So have you got a go now?
Yeah, I'm off, and I'll catch you all next week.
Yes, catch you same time next week, Shad. Enjoy Poland. I'm not sleeping well tonight.
I don't know whether I should be scared or aroused or what, I don't know.
Right, Wall Street...
That was really Hannibal Lecter-ish. We have nightmares tonight, thanks very much.
If you want, I can do the Big E introducing the two-time WWE champions if you want. I can do that.
No.
With gyrating hips and everything.
No.
I still can't get the noises out of my head Chad was making.
Weird sucky noise. It was awful.
He hit the blunt too hard.
He flipping did that earlier in the night. Go on, Joe, start us off. Ladies first.
Chad, I thought he was going to get it this week from me.
Way!
For his 5-in-a-row prediction, Chad gets my MVP of the week.
Wardle?
As if you really have to ask who my MVP of the week is. Of course it's Braun. Any week that Braun Strowman just comes out, beats the shit out of someone, and then leaves. It's just brilliant. What more do you want?
The bump Roman took onto the ambulance is pretty heavy. I'm sure he's aching. It was absolutely brutal, the way he just, like, manhandled him, just dashed him into the side of an ambulance.
The amount of remixes I've already seen of that, with, like, dubstep remixes and all sorts, is just brilliant.
You'll have to drop some in the group, because I've not seen any.
Yeah, man, honestly, it's not even the fact it's Roman, it's just Braun so good right now. Just give him the fucking title. Just give him the title, and let him run with it, because he's just brilliant.
He has been brilliant, absolutely no doubt about it. My MVP of the week, it was a difficult one because there's so many strong contenders. I thought it was another really, really good week for Samoa Joe. I think he's been built to be an absolute monster. But I think for me, Braun is just shading it purely for the throwing Roman into the side of an ambulance, making him look like he weighed about as much as a small girl. It was absolutely amazing. Like, his strength is phenomenal.
That was just... Kalisto is like 200-odd pound. So to deadlift, 200-odd pound...
By the face.
With no assistance, by the face. All the way up to his height, and he's 7 foot. And then slam him into the floor for the fun of it. It's just unreal. And then the obvious kip-up. The greatest of all kip-ups that was ever performed.
Yeah.
Just,
I think he gets my MVP of the week. time now to switch our attention to the Jam's bitch of the week.
Well, Joe should definitely go first because Joe absolutely loves doing the bitch of the week.
It's Enzo Amore.
Why is that, Joe? By any chance?
Just because it's Enzo Amore, innit? I don't even need a reason. Enzo Amore is a bitch. We'll just always have him as bitch of the week. Because it's Enzo Amore.
I've got to agree with you, Joe. He's my bitch of the week. Made to look like a stupid idiot by Big Cass. And just got absolutely dumpstered by that clothesline and then launched him down the ramp like he was an empty cup. just made him look like a giant bitch. And I think next week he's going to be the bitch as well, because I can imagine he's going to get beat up for week after week after week until he gets hit so hard he ends up on 205 Live.
Yeah, it's inevitable. Don't forget when I said that it was going to happen and he was going to go to 205. It's inevitable.
Quite possibly. Wardle, who is your bitch of the week?
It's with a heavy heart. The Miz.
Okay, that's interesting. Do tell.
Just because he allowed that segment to happen on Raw. That's literally the only reason. It was just awful. Everything about it was just awful.
It was really bad.
I just don't understand what WWE was thinking. And it's all, but again, it's that classic thing that WWE forgets that people outside of America watch WWE. Because I didn't have a fucking clue who them guys were. Most of the people that popped up on my Facebook didn't have a fucking clue who them guys were. And it's just like, it's just, I hate it when they do celebrity angles. I really do. Just so unnecessary. But yeah, Miz is the bitch of the week just for that segment, because he agreed to that. No one forced him to do it. He agreed to do that segment. So, yeah. Sorry, Miz. As much as I love you.
It just wasn't very good at all.
No.
It's right up there with Bayley's This Is Your Life's worst thing I've seen on TV this year.
Oh, I've both sent you guys the clip of the guy saying the N word. I would like to apologise to people.
Thank you.
I'd like to apologise to people for saying it earlier, but my bad. I didn't mean it in any sort of whatever. I was just quoting. As a broadcast journalist, as Mike would say, it's what you have to do.
It's what you have to do. Talking of what we have to do, let's just reiterate, you can find us at Jams Podcast. Also, you can find my lovely colleagues at their respective Twitter handles. Wardle?
The Real _ Wardle.
Joe?
At Sensational Joe.
And you can find Jams Podcast at
Jams Podcast.
Nice, yeah. And that's the same on the Instagram. That's the same on Facebook. I would like to give a special shout out to the reigning, defending, undisputed, ultra light heavyweight champion of the world, AJ the Baby, who on Sunday will be the grand old age of one, the first baby of the Jams Podcast.
Blimey, where has 12 months gone, Ward? How's it been like for you?
Up the shitter, mate. That's where it's gone. just putting up with Shad for 12 months is what it feels like. Shad and a baby. Speaking of Shad, if Actamina Snooker wins, her dad will be looking up at her, so proud. Hashtag Father's Day. Hashtag Winnie in the Bank. That was if you missed Shad's Twitter, at ShadFather85. That's the sort of shit you can hear from ShadFather.
When I saw that, I just sat there for maybe 2 or 3 minutes in shock. and then laughed uncontrollably.
I read it and I was just like, oh, that's actually quite sweet of Shad. And then I was like, oh, he said looking up. Oh. I thought Shad was actually being sincere for him.
No, he is a horrible young man.
Oh, bless Shad Father. Bless him and his angry, sadistic ways.
That almost paid, I swear to God.
It's just, like I said, I read it and I was like, oh, that's really sweet. And then I just had this sudden, like, shiver. And I was like, oh, God.
What a realization of what he's actually bought.
Yeah. It was worrying. We have to rein him in a bit. Just a little bit.
Could you imagine what he'd say? Can you imagine sitting there? Maybe there's been times where he's gone, maybe that's too far, and he's actually not hit the send button. Do you imagine what those tweets might look like?
Fuck off.
I don't think he ever felt as himself, and that's God's honest truth.
No, I think he just says it. I do think he just says it and just goes for it. Like the comments about Andre and Stephanie McMahon.
That caught me by surprise.
There's always been rumours. But yeah, poor God, Shad Father, man. So sadistic. If Shad could only harness his powers of evil for good.
Yeah, I think
how different the world could be.
I think we're all doomed on that one, Wardle, to be honest. Salty and a bit of an arse yesterday, I must say, with his wild commenting and just shit attitude.
For the people that are listening that don't know who Ian Cooper is, we are part of a group on Facebook called the FTC, the Smack Talk Center. It's you know, click to join. Just don't be a weirdo. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
And Ian Cooper is a former admin and a very, well, I was going to say respected, but that's a lie, I don't respect him. I'll fight him. He is a member of the group who yesterday was in the saltiest mood that I've ever seen anybody with them. He got quite offensive to Joe, I thought. I thought he was quite offensive to you. I thought that was a bit out of order.
I normally like Ian, but yesterday was too much.
As I pointed out, I'm that bitch's daddy.
I think if you and Cooper had a fight, he would end up with a strap on up his arse. I think that's what would happen.
Oh, God, Wardle.
it's true, though. Let's face it.
I just
don't understand what his beef is. I mean, he's got a proper beef with our current FTC champion, Paul Sumners, for some reason. Although Paul was one of the best FTC champions I think we've ever had. In the entirety of
the
FTC.
It's true.
Yeah.
Got issues with Ed, even though Ed is his father, his actual father.
Well, he's got issues with Ed because Ed deletes posts which are A, either spoilers, or B, rude slash inoffensive, And Ian posts a lot of stuff which is spoilers, which we don't allow within 24 hours. That's pretty much the only rule with the FTC, isn't it, pretty much? No spoilers within 24 hours. And Ian wants to post them, he wants to keep posting the same post over and over again, he keeps wanting to take digs at admins all the time.
So basically, because Ed is a good admin and Ian wasn't, Ian don't like it.
Well, that's the point. Ian has stepped down voluntarily. He didn't have to, no one forced him out. He decided to not be an admin anymore, but he's going on like everybody forced him out.
Eat, so he got out of the kitchen.
Yeah, a little.
So shall I do this Michael Grant style?
Happily.
Okay. ready. Do I have to do his full name, or can I just call him Ian Cooper? I just have to be Ian Anthony Cooper.
Do whatever you like, Joe.
Yeah, you can call him whatever you like. It's up to you, Joe.
Right, Ian Cooper, you best selfie, pound shop, glasses wearing bitch. If you sell your fuck, you listen to 434 Club so much, it is the Bible, stop reading those gospels. And just for being a sorry motherfucker, and the fact that Ned Mulhall is your dog.
Get your chair!
So eloquently put. I love it. Stop being a salty motherfucker.
My jaw actually hurts after that. Michael Grant getting the chair based. I don't know how he does it.
He's just a very loud individual. It's easy for Mike.
That's biatch is ridiculous. Every week that biatch at the end gets louder, I tell you. If we recorded that and measured the decibels, it gets louder.
Yeah, you try it when he's in the same room as you. It's hella loud.
I keep saying to him, we need to arrange at least three or four. I know it's difficult for Joe because you're in Newcastle, but we need to try and get something where at least three of us are in the same room, because I reckon that would be a magical show, especially if Shad was there.
Joe's coming down for Mania next year with her husband.
Well, if that's not enough incentive, listeners, to buy a ticket and come to the WrestleMania gathering, I don't know what is.
Yeah, if you're coming down, Joe, I will have to make the effort.
Him and everything.
You dressed as China?
Are you I'm not telling you what I'm dressed as because it's a genius. That it's somebody you'll never have even as a surprise.
I'm gonna make an early bet. I'm gonna say, no, don't say anything. I'm gonna say John Cena. That's gonna be my pick. A female John Cena.
Well, my original plan was Mae Young, complete with a hand dangling out my vagina.
Oh,
vagina,
Jesus!
But Terry said I wasn't allowed.
Are you surprised?
I'm gonna attach a hand to a tampon string. Sorry, Terry was like, no, you can't do that.
That's horrible.
I'm assuming Terry would be Steve Blackman, yeah?
He'll probably come around the Orton or something because he's totally gay for Orton, so.
I know somebody else that's totally gay for Orton. Shad Barlow. Oh, God, imagine if Shad actually met Orton. Oh, God.
And be taking him off to Poland with him.
Where is Shad Barlow, man? Seriously. We don't get him on enough.
Hopefully we can have him on more.
One thing, though. Do you know this whole STC championship thing? Terry's actually gone for it. And he said if he wins it, he's going to throw it on the Angel of the North and leave it there, but take a folder and send it to Cooper.
That would be amazing.
It's a really good throw and he would be able to do it.
But
would never be able to get it down again.
I am telling you now, and I swear to God, right, I swear it on everything that I have. If, as a Mania gathering, that belt is actually there, I'm going to do a punk, and I'm going to steal it, and I'm literally going to leave the gathering, and I'll take a picture of it in my freezer, like Punk did. Right? And Ian Cooper will never see that belt again, because I just don't care. I'm not paying him a fiver to enter some competition. Ian Cooper is not having a single penny from me to enter some stupid competition for a belt that's been paid for 12 times over. I'm not doing it. I will just steal that belt.
You can't do that. It's got Ric Flair's signature on it.
That's why I'm going to steal it and cut that bit off and give it to Chad.
We'd bury him with that.
I don't care about the FTC belt. It means nothing to me. I just want it. Just to, it'll just piss Cooper off. And there's nothing he can do. There's nothing he can do. If actually, I'm going to legitimately win it. I'm going to... You know what? Mania, when Joe comes down with Terry, I will give Cooper my fiver. I will win the FTC belt, and he will never see that belt again. I promise you. He will never touch it. He will never see it. He will never be able to feel it. Nothing. Ever.
Ever.
That's my promise to you, Ian Cooper. Because I'm fed up with your bitch. Bitchness. All the time.
And on that bombshell, it is time to end the show. Wardle, do you want to close us out? Because I'm not sure I can do the voice.
Well, I just wanted to finish off with, I know Joe's not a fan, so, you know, I'm sorry, Joe, but Cody Rhodes broke 29-year world title drought the Rhodes family has had just this weekend gone. Ring of Honor, best in the world. He could be... This show goes out on a Saturday. Believe it or not, people, it's not live. But this show goes out on a Saturday. And in literally a few hours' time from when you're listening to this, Cody Rhodes could be the first ever person to hold both the IWGP and Ring of Honor World Championships, which would officially make him the greatest indie star ever. Fast. There's no one else to do it. Ever. And on that note, what's the ending again? I forgot. It's not the FTC one. What is it, Jones? What does Mike do?
That's all I hear is bitch.
Do you want me just to do the bitch?
Yeah, do the bitch.
Okay. Join us next week. When it's Great Balls of Fire prediction?
Yeah, Great Balls of Fire prediction show.
Great
Balls of Fire!
How good is it with a superstar thing there? So good.
Yeah.
So Great Balls of Fire prediction show. Hopefully we'll have Chad Barber on for a bit longer. The infamous informer, the anime, porn-loving Mike Grant will be back on as well.
Grandbody Ping Pong.
With hopefully... Annie Mae, his girlfriend, that we always hear about but never see. Hopefully she'll be on. Joe will be on. Sacco will be on. And maybe my good friend, former, well, founding father of the Skip to the End movie podcast, Adam Porter, might be making an appearance to come and chat shit with us about wrestling for an hour. So that should be a good show. We're done. Talk. Jam. Podcast. For life. It don't get no better.
Don't bother, niggas wish they got the cake I see. Stack the bricks, call us Great Khali. I got the shooters out lurking with the 40. I told them to scrape the cereal. Running through the cut, mask on like Rey Mysterio. Ball main pockets full of dead green guys. Sell it wet, fuck, wait until that whole thing dry. Used to stash dope money underneath my king size. Now with thin chains at WrestleMania ringside.
He's one thing, who's this business? Knows that AJ Styles had the best year in 2016. I'm the one that put SmackDown Live on the map. I'm the reason why your butts are in the seat. We're going to have a conversation right here tonight about my career.